The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order. Today, plausibly live, it's the ZABEcast.
No. We'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
We're going to find out today if Midweek Andy is even better than Start the Week Andy. It is a Thursday edition of the ZABEcast. Andy Pollin is alive and paying attention to sports, we hope, in the middle of the week. How we doing, buddy?
I'm all right. Didn't pay that much attention to the Stanley Cup Finals. I know that Carolina won, but I watched just about every minute of the NBA Finals.
Okay, we got that to talk about. I want to put a quarter in your jukebox on the Brendan Sorsby saga. Mm-hmm. His agent today said something that has left me gobsmacked. My gob has been smacked, Andy, but I'm going to relay that to everyone here in just a second. And I hope, I beg of you, that you have been watching and following on social media the World Cup in its totality, not just the matches, not just the brilliant performances last night from some of the stars of the sport, Mbappe and Messi and this guy from Norway, Haaland,
right?
But also the stuff off the pitch, the fan bases, Scotland supporters drinking Boston bars dry. They said it tripled their normal St. Patrick's Day, the drinking, Andy.
Not surprised. You may remember, it's been a while, but we went to the Manny Pacquiao Ricky Hatton fight.
Oh, and that's right.
Remember the Ricky Hatton supporters?
Yes, he was crazy. They were crazy, but they were Brits, though, I believe. They were not Scots.
Okay.
But similar.
They know how to drink.
Yes, exactly. And today, Ghana tied Portugal. And you should see some of the fans from Ghana. They didn't have a lot of them, but some of the ones they had were wild. It's so fun. If you're not following Andy, you need to get on some social media accounts that follow the fan bases of all the teams.
Yeah, you know, I think it's different than like Super Bowl fans because you have a lot of money to go. And not that it's a cheap experience to travel, follow the World Cup. But the level of craziness with their fans, I mean, it is really life and death with them, you know?
Right.
I mean, don't you get that feel?
Well, yeah, because it's national pride
And you're talking about a once in a lifetime thing to travel somewhere like the U.S. and watch the World Cup. And yeah, they're here. I said Ghana. I meant to say Congo. Congo somehow secured a draw against mighty Portugal, which is a huge upset. And I'm going to show you right now some of the Congo supporters, if you will. And I know this is a podcast, so you're going to have to look this up online. But look at this.
Now, when he was putting together that ensemble, did he say to maybe his wife, "What do you think with the hat? Too busy?"
Well, he's got no shirt on. He has some sort of like jogging shorts, but then a like a bikini bottom. And he is he's a hefty fella. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Oh, it's like, oh, he looks like he's got the Congo flag tied around his shorts, which I guess is not offensive. I don't know.
He's certainly not shy about his man boobs. He's shaking those around pretty good.
No. Now, in fairness, as I look at this, this might not be from the World Cup because I'm looking at the stadium overhang here, and it doesn't quite look like any of our stadiums. Do you know how completely stunned international fans are at how many stadiums we have in America? They're like, I just found out that they're not even using their five biggest stadiums for this event. What do they do in America with all their stadiums? Andy, tell them.
Well, they use them for concerts and so forth, but also we discard them now after like 20 years.
I know.
Except for really like the iconic places like Lambeau Field and Wrigley Field and Fenway Park. That's what they got. They got about a 20-year life, which is remarkable since they're now well into the billions to build.
Yeah.
And you remember this, when the Nationals were going to move from Montreal and it was contingent on the stadium plan being approved and the city was going to have to put out, seems like a quaint number now, $400 million. And Linda Kropp from the city council led this big revolt. Oh, we won't be able to cover the cost of that. That's too much money. And eventually they settled on a price. But yeah, now we're talking billions.
That's what it was. $400 million. That's it.
Yeah. That was 2005, right?
2005. Yeah. All right. So let me start with this, Andy. I don't know how this would work exactly. I don't know if you're going to buy a pair, but the Caitlin Clark sneaker is out. It'll be available in October, but Nike has finally launched it. The Caitlin 1. It is blue with a interesting sort of ripple effect on its sides, and then three phrases on the shoe sole itself that I guess are her favorite motivational phrases. It's going to be available for $140. Now, question. If you're a middle-aged dude, can you wear the Caitlin 1? Should you? Can you buy the Caitlin 1? Like, how does this work, Andy?
Well, it's obviously not marketed to us. And
no.
my issue is I have a 4E foot. It's almost like a snowshoe. So my selections are limited. Now, Under Armour makes a pair that I really like now, so I've been buying those, but mostly it's been New Balance. They were the first to get into the wide shoe. I've refused, though, to buy their classic dad shoe, the white one. That's like the one that says, okay, your life is over, you need to buy these. I haven't bought those, but it's hard for me to find sneakers because you have to look for the really wide sizes. They're not easy to find.
So here is the, I'm looking at it right now. Let me show this to you.
Do you feel like you need this? Would you buy this?
No, in a million years, no. I don't buy basketball sneakers, and I like very plain looking sneakers, whites, black and whites, maybe tans. I don't want any real color on my feet, so to speak.
I like blue sneakers.
Under
Armour makes blue sneakers that I buy.
Andy,
I like them.
If you like blue, look at that Caitlin Clark blue right there.
But why would I pay $140? I haven't picked up a basketball probably.
Whoa. How much is too much for Richie Rich for a pair of shoes?
for a pair of sneakers,
mm-hmm.
for what I buy, I try to keep them around $75.
Okay, so 75 is what is your knee buckle point? 100?
Yeah, 100 is at 100 is I really need to buy sneakers desperately and they have my size. All right, I'll bite the bullet. But no, okay. In terms of need, absolutely not. Now, I do know people who trade in the sneaker market and they actually can sell used sneakers for more than they've paid for them new, which baffles me, but that's the way it works.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen teenagers that have made millions building these shoe empires where they collect right. up and save all kinds of vintage shoes and sneakers that are limited edition or they were hot at one point and then the player mm-hmm. that, you know, it was modeled after, his career ended. So they're hard to get now. Here are the phrases that apparently are layered into the outsole of the shoe. One is shoot more threes. More? From anywhere, and it was never a long shot. Clark said if it inspires even one kid to work harder or fall in love with the game, that's what makes it special. So great. There you go. This was an interesting thing because they should have had this shoe out a year and a half ago, right? But Nike claims, well, it's a complicated process, and you know, you can't just rush these shoes out.
I don't know. I guess. Yeah. I mean, look, my son played basketball, but I don't ever remember him saying, oh, I got to have that kind of shoe. I mean, it wasn't going to make him a scholarship player, no matter what price shoe I bought him.
Yeah. So. All right. Here is the quote of the day. This is Texas. This is Brendan Sorsby's agent, Ron mm-hmm. Slavin. First, Andy, can I get you on board as to what Texas Tech finally understood about the situation that made them say, you know what, we need to cut the rope on this kid?
Well, our mutual friend has a saying, which we often steal, called the juice wasn't worth the squeezing. And they knew what was coming with media day and all the other stuff that would come around once the season started. So they just said, forget it. We're out. It's just not worth it. And look, is this a seminal moment for college sports? No, I don't think so. But at least we didn't have to go through the ridiculousness of he pretty much broke the cardinal rule of sports. He bet on his own team.
Oh, and was Pete Rose times 10, basically.
Yeah.
And it yeah. worse because of what his agent said on a radio show today about what happened when Sorsby was at Cincinnati.
So take a listen to this. The details that you're alluding to not already out, the entire story.
You know, you have to be careful of some things just because of all the people involved. And the people I feel worst for besides Brendan is Texas Tech. And I know they might have, you know, they I think where they messed up was they talked too much. And but nobody knew any of this about Brendan. Nobody knew when he was in the portal this was happening. I mean, Brendan probably should have gone in the draft in January, right? If we would have known, but nobody knew. So the people at Tech have been great, very supportive. Jerry Maguire, I think, is one of the best human beings on the planet. He's a lot of head coaches are transactional. He is not. And they didn't do anything wrong here. If anybody should be questioned or be catching heat, it should be Cincinnati because they knew for 2 years and never said anything and didn't do anything about it. So
yeah.
that's the part of the story that gets lost. And again, it's like this is a 22-year-old kid who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. He's had two girlfriends his entire life.
Who cares? Who cares? But let me rewind just a second.
Yeah.
Hey, Cincinnati knew about this for 2 years and didn't do anything. Well, then I guess you knew about it as well. How is that even a flex? You're his agent. You are his agent saying, God, you know, we should have probably gone pro last January because we didn't know all this furor was going to erupt when he entered the portal. You're the worst right. fucking agent I've ever seen. God, what a
now, does the NCAA investigate Cincinnati or they just go, hey, Gavalt, let's just get away from this thing. Let's not get involved in this whole mess anymore.
I mean, I don't think what would you hit Cincinnati with?
I mean, I don't know, but clearly there's a violation that Cincinnati knew about, according to his agent, and didn't say anything.
I guess, yeah. I mean, yeah. Maybe they'd go in there and start digging around, but still.
Well, look, the NCAA declared Sorsby ineligible. The only reason he was going to play was he got an injunction from a judge who went with the idea of, oh, he could be out on the street and helpless without his team, and his gambling disease is going to be held under control by being part of a team.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah.
So I asked the question yesterday on this podcast. I said, how is it that five supposedly smart men who all sat at a table and did a 26-minute video explaining Texas Tech's side of things? It was like the AD, the university president, the coach, blah, blah, blah. And people laughed going, saying, if you have to put out a 26-minute video explaining your side, guess what? You don't have a strong argument. But why did five supposedly smart guys not see that this would be unsustainable, untenable, with every media availability, with every interview, after every game, after every three interception performance in which people might say, are you still gambling via proxies on the game against yourself? Like, this was never going to work. And then somebody had a tweet, Andy, that made it all made sense to me. Made it all make sense to me. Do you know who Cody Campbell is?
No.
Cody Campbell is the primary billionaire backer of the Texas Tech NIL engine.
Oh, $6 million that brought in Sorsby?
Yes. So,
yeah.
Okay. And it was $6 million that didn't even clip his net worth. He's an oil.
And they didn't even, and Texas Tech was careful to say, we don't even need it back. Just take the money and go.
Yes. He is an oil and gas entrepreneur, the CEO of Double Eagle Energy, and currently serves as the chairman of the Texas Tech Board of Regents. So he's one of the most prominent boosters in college sports. Now, somebody tweeted, and this makes perfect sense. They said, well, it's now sort of obvious that Texas Tech is the first college football program to have a de facto owner, and he's clearly not very good at it. And I'm like, boom. Perfect.
Yep,
right?
Yep. We see it in the NFL,
isn't it?
We had 24 years of that here with Washington, with Dan Snyder. We can understand that.
Yeah. So what's next? What is next now on the landscape after this whole episode?
Well, I mean, at some point, this has to operate like a business, that these players have to be signed to contracts. There's got to be a commissioner. I mean, the NCAA is just flailing away. And schools know if the decision doesn't go their way, they'll just get a favorable court ruling. So, yeah. You know, there has to be a collective bargaining agreement, something on paper. People have been saying this for years, and now that it's here, we have money being paid to athletes. It's got to be legislated properly.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, we'll see what happens next, but I love that tweet saying basically, okay, Texas Tech now has an owner, and he's just not very good at this. He's the Woody Johnson currently of college sports.
And I think I'm typical of people who saw that 21-minute video and said, I'm just not going to spend the time watching that. I just, you know, I know the basics of this.
You kept scrolling once you saw that from those clowns?
Well, I saw it was 21 minutes and I went, no, it's like a podcast. If you see a podcast, it's 2 hours. Are you necessarily, unless you're really interested,
you better really, really love that person that you listen to their podcast, or you've got a long drive to Tulsa and you need some time to kill. All right, let's talk NBA Finals. Your thoughts as the Knicks get ready for their ticker tape parade in a very rainy, windy, thunderstormy Thursday afternoon in the Canyon of Heroes. Let's talk about them winning. I argued earlier in the week that you can hate the media and the celebrities around the New York Knicks, Stephen A. Smith, Spike Lee, Ben Stiller, if you want, shut up, alarm. You can hate that part of the Knicks thing, but just focus on the team. The Knicks team, Andy, was extremely likable as a collection of guys who were just the right fit. Some of them were kind of overachievers. Of course, they had stars and guys with max contracts. But that's a likable team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird juxtaposition in that you have New York, and there's automatic hatred from some people to New York anyway. And the flashiest player in these playoffs was Victor Wembanyama, who plays in a city that I lived in for 3.5 years and love, but
that's
was
right. San Antonio. Tell me how it was down there. Did you like it?
Well, I was there before they started winning championships, but they were good. They had George Gervin, and they had teams that were competitive. They got to the I think Eastern Conference Finals once and lost to the Bullets.
I was at that Game 7 at the Cap Center with my dad and my brother to see Kevin Greavy defeat George the Iceman Gervin, a silky smooth scorer with a legendary finger roll, was his class. Yeah,
he was great, and it was fun. But that's a city that could only support one major franchise. As big as football is, high school football, they could never have an NFL team, certainly not hockey. And they just wouldn't be able to support a baseball team for 162 games. So this is it. This is their team. And then you look at New York, which has two of everything.
Yep.
And you would think unlimited money. So, you know, if they could buy a championship, it's New York. And yet they come off as the plucky Hoosier types, you know, and it's this superstar guard who was discarded by Dallas, second round pick, overlooked, you know, right. All the things. His dad is one of the assistant coaches. It's like, you know, Shooter from Hoosiers, you know,
it is a hell of a story. And yeah,
run the picket fence, you know, and it shouldn't happen that way. Having lived in both cities, the number one city and a size city in America, and one of the biggest, I guess, small towns in America in San Antonio. And that's how it played out.
For those that don't know the Andy Poley behind the music, tell people how you ended up in San Antonio, Texas. As just a hardworking young radio up and comer, just a Jewish kid from Bethesda, Maryland. How did you end up in
Chevy Chase? But
Chevy, whatever.
I met Joe Fowler, who you may know from infomercials now, in college. He was from San Antonio. We became very close friends.
Where?
American University, Washington, D.C., basically 20 minutes from where I grew up. And midway through my sophomore year, through some odd events, he went back to San Antonio to broadcast the AA Dodgers. And he was offered this job in Port Arthur, Texas, which is about 90 miles east of Houston. And he said, I'm not going to take it, but I have a friend back in Washington, and he, I'm sure, would be interested. Sent a tape. One thing led to another. I spent a year in Port Arthur and then went to San Antonio, finished school there, and
Dallas. Hold on. So you're at American University. Your friend Joe Fowler, who does he still do infomercials?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can look him up. Look up Joe Fowler. You go, oh, that guy. I've seen that guy late at night.
Yeah.
He's done very well for his career on infomercials, right?
Absolutely. He's one of five people in the country that do them. So
So he was your buddy in college, and he goes, he has this job offer down there. And he doesn't want to take it. He recommends you.
Right.
And you send in a tape and you get it. And that the job once again was?
It was doing sports updates in the morning and the afternoon. I had to work a split shift. Come in the morning, do the updates, take a nap, come back in the afternoon. And I was 19 and I was hungry and I was willing to do it for $160
a week. $160
a week
in Port Arthur, Texas.
Yep. Yep. Knowing I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life there. And when I was hired, the general manager that hired me actually is running the San Antonio station, which was the beginning of Clear Channel Communications, amazingly,
right.
Which became a giant. Yeah.
So
and he followed through with this promise, because in taking this job at 19, I had to promise my parents that I would finish school, and I wasn't going to do that in Port Arthur. So I went to Trinity University in San Antonio and worked overnight at the radio station, graduated, and went to Dallas, came back to D.C., New York, and back to D.C.
That is fantastic. And I would imagine you recall those times as some of the fondest times of your life.
Yeah. I mean, there was good and bad. When you're making $160 a week with a car that breaks down all the time, you're not exactly living it up.
What kind of car did you have?
I had my father had given me a 1971 Volkswagen Squareback, which had, I think, close to or over 100,000 miles when I set off on my journey. And it was a chore to keep that on the road.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at it right now. Let me go ahead and pop it up on the screen here and just say, is this the one right here?
And it wasn't mine was yellow. Wasn't yellow. Green, but yes, that's exactly
wow.
it. And not a chick magnet for sure.
Let me see what the specs were. What were the specs on the 1971 VW Squareback? How many horsepower do you think that rolling typewriter, rolling sewing machine delivered?
Horsepower?
Yes, horsepower.
I have no idea, but given I wasn't that, drag given racing.
That a, given that, well, okay, but given that a modern Honda Civic, I think, delivers a pretty pathetic 110.
Yeah. It's probably in that range or less. I mean, cars are better now.
I know. I know.
A car should last you 200,000 miles if you take care of it.
Right. 65 horsepower. Torque of 87 pound-feet at 2,800 RPM. So, yeah. So you're down there as just a Jewish fish out of water, doing radio, making basically nothing, having the time of your life, finding Russian girlfriends who were too mouthy.
That was in Dallas. Like, that was later on.
That was in Dallas. Yeah. And I love it. So that's fantastic. Yeah. So anyway.
That car used to take me to Houston on the weekends to watch the Oilers, the rookie year for Earl Campbell. The Love You Blue, and you've been in my basement. You saw the ABC banner that I swiped. Yeah, so
yeah, I love that part of the Andy Pollin behind the music. I think a lot of listeners right now are going to be like, "Damn, I did not know all that." So that's a cool backstory.
It's
there.
Not. By the way, if you think you can do that now, you can't. That's the sad part, because there just aren't stations like that around anymore that you can get started at 19 and work your way up. It just doesn't work that way.
I would disagree with that.
Okay, I got a job doing sports on a radio station in Port Arthur, Texas. I defy anybody to find a job like that now. You can't do it.
For $160 a week, you could.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't even know if they could afford $160 a week the way AM radio is going these days.
I would say that it's far more rare now, but I think there are some small stations in some small towns that don't pay a lot of money, but could use maybe not a reporter right away, but a board op or something.
Okay.
Like that.
But I didn't have to sell. I never have sold time in my life. Some of these early jobs, you have to do everything. I didn't have to do that. And it was a great experience because I was on the air a lot. And I'm sure if I pulled off some old tapes, I'd be cringing, but I got better with reps.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I know anytime there is a Jewish-related, Jewish-adjacent story that tickles my interest or my funny bone, I definitely have to bring it up to you. And I find it heartwarming and beautiful that Jalen Brunson's wife is a nice Jewish white girl who was his high school sweetheart who became a physical therapist. And I've seen photos from people showing their wedding where they did all the traditional Jewish things.
The Hora. They did
the Hora.
Yep.
What do they do under the chuppah?
The chuppah is like this awning that is over the bride and the groom and the parents. Right. They stand off to the side. I don't know if they had a rabbi. I'm not sure about that. But but they did have what looked like a Jewish wedding. And I would say, like they say, behind every great man is a great woman. And I don't know her, but I'm guessing she's quite the wife.
She is. Right. And of course, today's modern NBA is such that, well, once you make it big and make all these millions, you got to get a smoke show Ferrari type wife. But he's just a different cat, which is amazing. By the way, here he is.
Look at that rabbi. That's a rabbi. That's a Hasidic like a rabbi.
Now, hold on. I'm wondering if this is AI.
I think that's Photoshopped. Yeah, that's got to be. Because
that rabbi right there looks like he's out of Central Casting. He's got the salt and pepper long beard, got the nice thin rimless glasses. He's got the whole outfit on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That is, and I'll tell you why. Because I may be wrong, but I don't think he converted. And if he didn't convert, a rabbi of that level, the Hasidic level, that's about, you know, that's really up there.
Okay.
I don't think he would agree to marry him. I think
All right. But, you know, that's a beautiful thing. Interracial, beautiful love, cultures coming together, an NBA superstar to be rejecting the pressures and the norms of, you know, what are you doing marrying some, you know, a mid-looking Jewish white girl? I think she's compared to NBA smoke show wives. Yeah.
He was raised right. Did you see the interview that he and his dad did together with the inside the NBA crew?
Well, where the dad said to his face, son, look, I'm going to stop this right now. Patrick Ewing was the greatest Nick ever.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. And another humble superstar was Barry Sanders. And Barry Sanders' dad said, the best running back I ever saw was Jim Brown. So that keeps him grounded. Brunson seems to be like he's got his head on straight. Like he really impressed me.
Yeah. This looks real. These photos here, People Magazine had photos of the two of them. Also, do you see the Jalen Brunson with his dad as just a little kid, probably 10 years old?
Yeah.
Running gassers on an outdoor basketball court where he's like, how many more, dad? And Rick Brunson's like, keep doing it till I say you're done. It's pretty cool. Yeah. See that?
And I don't think this was like the great Santini either. I think it was like, okay, you want to be a great basketball player, here's how you have to do it. And I think the great ones embrace it, which he clearly did.
So we'll see about the parade. It's too bad the weather's going to kind of suck, but it's going to be wild. I mean,
they don't make ticker tape anymore. So
it's fake ticker tape. Yeah,
I guess. Okay.
Well, you worked in the age of ticker tape back in San Antonio, probably.
It was just phasing out at that point. But they had, I'm trying to think, when the parades that they've had, I guess, have been for the Yankees, because famously, when the Giants won the Super Bowl after the 86 season and they wanted to have a ticker tape parade in Manhattan, and Ed Koch said, no, 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 their jersey, let him hold it in Munaki.
Yeah, in Munaki.
And, exactly. Remember that?
Yeah. I do.
Ticker
tape was the physical paper ribbon used in telegraph machines to print abbreviated stock names and transaction prices in real time. Mm-hmm. There was so much of it back in the day that instead of throwing it all away, they were able to just cut it all up and use it as basically confetti for, you know.
Yeah, but they also, if you see old pictures, you see long streams of paper coming down. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this, the first ticker tape parade was for Lindbergh. For crossing the Atlantic.
Oh, okay. Let me look that one up real quick.
I think that's right. Yeah.
First ticker tape parade.
Which would have been 1920 something, right?
Let's see here. Admiral George Dewey.
Okay.
Was celebrated once.
Yeah, that's earlier, I think.
Ticker tape parades in New York City were reserved for special occasions. Soon after the first parade in 1886.
Oh, and it's before that. I'm wrong. Okay.
It was during the dedication of the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's a good reason. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's see who else is. I'd have to go through it all, but okay. Yeah. So that said, the Knicks are the champs parade. Let me get your 2 cents on Wemby. He is getting killed in the aftermath. And the whole shaking hands thing, I think you're of the mindset of, maybe it's important, maybe not. But, I mean, Wemby reputationally took a beating in this season.
Yeah, Yeah, he didn't. He, in some ways, he actually impressed me and with how honest he was and willing and forthright. And the other times he came across as petulant. And but I'll say this about him, which I really love. He's competitive. And that's going to take you a long way. Whenever you get in, for me anyway, when you get into the Jordan LeBron debate, the separation for me is the competition level. And Jordan just refused to lose. And not that LeBron hasn't been great, but LeBron hasn't had that, seemingly to me, that kind of drive that Jordan had.
I think LeBron likes being LeBron a little bit more than he hates losing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a tiny shade of difference that keeps him from being Jordan to guys like you and I. It's an age thing as well. We're olds, so therefore Jordan will be our North Star forever.
But the thing that does impress me about Wembanyama is he hates to lose, and that's going to take him a long way.
Yeah, but he was a bitch about it, and I think
sometimes he's 22.
Dirty. I think he's a dirty player as well.
Yeah, that could sort itself out too. And here's something else, and I hope it doesn't happen. But guys, this size, they don't generally last all that long. You know, Yao Ming was in and out of the league in 8 or 9 years. You know, the body is just not meant for that kind of, you know, he's thin, which helps him. But, you know, let's hope he stays healthy.
Yeah. All right. Then there's this. ESPN has reported that Floyd Mayweather, who once proudly displayed $4, $5, $6 million winning wagers while living in Vegas, that Floyd Mayweather has been hit with 2 felony charges for writing bad checks, including a $200,000 check to buy a watch. Meanwhile, he's a defendant in separate civil cases in at least 4 states, and he's been hit with a $7.2 million IRS tax lien and a $22,000 lien from a Vegas gated community. What are the chances that Floyd Mayweather literally is out of money?
It's possible. I mean, it's entirely possible because there are plenty of people willing to take your money. And the best thing that anybody can do when they come into that kind of money is to hire somebody they trust, and that person gives you an allowance. And yeah.
You think, one of the greatest boxers of the modern era, Floyd Mayweather, would have been that restrained and said, okay, give me an allowance. What? I can't gamble $2 million on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl? Get out of here.
Well, right. But otherwise, it's very easy for it to disappear. Talk to Allen Iverson. There's a story about Trevor Ariza. He made $116 million. His bank account is $220,000 in the negative. Right. it's very easy for the money to disappear. Very easy.
On the media front, Nick Spurs officially ranked as the most watched NBA finals since 1998. All the sports have been enjoying a 10 to 15% boost by the way they calculate this now, thanks to the so-called big panel, which incorporates online and sometimes public watching at bars and whatnot. So that's fine. Right. It was a great series. It was involving the Knicks, and that doesn't hurt. And so the NBA is in a good spot right now, I would say.
Yeah, but they are. This series in particular, though, you had New York, that's huge, and the most, I don't want to say curious, I don't know how you want to describe Wembanyama, but the casual fan can look at Wembanyama and go, whoa, look at that.
Right, yeah. He's a unique size and shape and phenomenon. Whereas
and plays differently than anybody that size has ever played.
Correct. Yeah. Whereas just... if it was just, hey, you got to see the finals. There's this guy, Carl Anthony Towns. He's really good. He's a big man who shoots. You'd watch and go, I don't get it. He's a big guy. But then you see Wemby and you're like, oh my God, is he an alien? And you're like, well, funny you should mention that. That's his logo and his nickname because he looks
last year, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was in the finals. It drew 10 million. This one drew $25.5 million. Yep. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a better basketball player, according to how the voting went for the MVP, than Wembanyama. But Wembanyama's drawn more than twice as many eyeballs.
And yet, despite that eye-popping number, the $25 million for Game 5, the clincher, you know what topped it by $2 million? USA Paraguay in soccer. 27 million. Did you watch any or part or all of that game?
It was late. I watched some of it. A 9 o'clock start, even on a Friday, is rough for me, but I did watch some of it. And I like the soccer because it's over quickly and it has that continuing buzz throughout the game. Is the vuvuzelas?
They don't have the vuvuzelas, but no, they got fan bases that cheer and sing, and they've got their chants and everything else.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
All right. And then there's this Darren Peterson, who could go 1-1 to the Wizards next Thursday. Probably not going to. It looks like, I think people assume it's going to be Adrian Spansta. But yeah. Darren Peterson tells Full Court Pass he was surprised when his initial meeting with the Wizards focused more on him as a person rather than him as a basketball player. This per Brian Windhorst, ESPN. Somebody responded by saying, I'm not sure how many of these kids realize the NBA is calling every person you've ever met to figure out if you're worth their multi-million dollar investment. Agreed?
Yeah, and what we just saw with Jalen Brunson is a bunch of teams, all the teams passed on him in the first round. Dallas took him in the second round, didn't see enough to offer him a reasonable contract extension, and he's made himself into one of the best players in the league. It goes the other way, too. And everybody who gets in the league, they can play. They can all play. It's the ones that, you know, want to take it to another level that become great.
Well, I think if I were to have Peterson in front of me, I'd say, bro, they know your basketball. You played on television for Kansas.
Yeah. They missed a lot of games with cramps.
Well, that's it. Yeah. So yeah. They know your basketball when you're right. It's sublime. It's worthy of the number one pick. They don't need to know more about that. They need to know what makes you tick. Who are you? What was going on in those games in which you tapped out or couldn't go, and your own coach, Bill Self, was frustrated as hell about it. So
yeah. Yeah. And I don't know of an example of a player who came out of college like this and everybody said, stay away, and became the greatest or one of the greatest. Can you think of one like that?
No. And again, you're setting the bar super high saying, did he become the greatest?
Right. But in many cases, it's like, who was the guy from Kansas State? He went number two overall.
Oh, yeah. And he was sort of crazy. He had to take a mental health break from the end.
Yeah, there were warning signs there, and they still took him at two. No.
Yeah, well, Michael Beasley is the guy.
Beasley, that's the one. Yeah, he's local.
All right. Andy, as always, it's a joy to connect with you, and I urge you to get on some social media accounts that follow the crazy, nutty fans from all over the world who have come to America this summer and are having a proper American summer.
Well, that'll be my homework assignment, and I assume we're back on the weekend schedule. Happy Father's Day in advance.
Well, we'll see. U.S. Open happening this week on TikTok, and so let's just see how next week unfolds. I'm also traveling up to Wisconsin for a golf trip by car,
right.
So that should be interesting. I don't know how I'm going to produce the podcast next week, but I'll figure it out. But yeah, it'll be
Look.
Speaking of homework, did you get your Peacock password?
No, I haven't done that because I haven't needed to do a Peacock. But let me just say this about my appearances on this show. I am much like a Steve Spurrier wide receiver, cheap and available.
But you're cheap and available, and you're enjoyable, and you're a longtime friend and mentor and a guy in the biz, and I never get bored of talking to you, at least for 30 minutes. 35 minutes is when I start to lose patience, and oh my God, 41 minutes in, Andy, I gotta go.
All right,
buddy.
Take care.
Talk to you next time. Thanks, brother.
I'm easy like Sunday morning.
Let's talk casino for a second. MyBookie.ag has a full Las Vegas-style casino
right on your phone. Blackjack, roulette, craps, slots, video poker, all of it. No flight, no parking, no guy next to you who hasn't showered since Thursday. And they have live dealer games. Real humans on camera dealing cards and spinning wheels in real time. You can watch the shuffle. It's not some random number generator. It's an actual person running an actual table, and you're sitting at it from your couch. New players get $25 in casino credit automatically with promo code ZABE, just for making a deposit. Free money to try it on them. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Can't get by on this Wednesday without checking in with our guy Nick Lochner of the Clean Sheet EPL, because the World Cup is cracking. Nicky boy, what a day we had on Tuesday, huh?
Wow, brilliant, brilliant. Stars came out. Stars cinema. Came out and showed up.
Absolute cinema, as you said to me in a GIF. So, Kylian Mbappe started the day with two goals for France in their 3-1 win against Senegal. This guy, Haaland, for Norway, had a couple in their 4-1 win against Iraq. And then Messi goes ham with a hat trick in the nightcap. Where do you want to begin?
And they each kind of got to look over their shoulder and see what the other star was doing. And I think the way I've posted online was each guy kind of saying, hold my beer. You think you can do it? Look what I can do. And they were truly brilliant. I mean, they're three of the stars in this thing. And they also are, it's a little side note, they're chasing some records here, Zabe. So we got, Miroslav Klose, some of the older folks who listen to this, my age, I guess, and your age, might remember this guy from Germany. He has the most World Cup goals in history with 16. And you kind of have to remember it's 4 years between World Cups. You got to start pretty young. You know, how many goals? Some teams only play three games and they get knocked out. Mbappe came into this tournament. If he scores 5 goals, he will be on 17. He came in with 12. He scored 2. He's at 14. Messi also came in with 13 goals, and he went 3, and he now has he is tied for the most goals all time in the World Cup. Whereas Erling Haaland is only 4 or 5. It's his first World Cup, and those were his first 2 goals. Even though, here's a stat for you, Erling Haaland has scored 58 goals for Norway in 51 matches. Okay. Mbappe, who is, people are saying, you know, behind Messi, maybe is one of the best players in the world, or is, he has scored 58 goals for France in 99 matches.
Wow.
So, I'm looking right crazy now. Numbers. Superstars came out.
It is. I'll get back to Messi in a second. I'm looking at Haaland right now. He plays for Man City. Is that right?
Yep. Erling Haaland.
He is a Nordic god incarnate. He's got a ponytail. He's got the blonde hair. He's got the Nordic facial features, shock white eyebrows, big dude, and is just like the embodiment of the ultimate footballer. Like, this guy's out of central casting, if you ask me.
He is out of central casting, and he is, his game, you know, Messi is a let's call him a maestro. Right. Mbappe is pure athleticism, who really just figures out, can play multiple places on the field. Haaland is a bull in a china shop. The guy is just physical. He's fast. And, you know, if you ever watch him play with Man City in the Premier League, he just bullies people in the box, and he is just a pure goal scorer.
He's 6'5". When I saw his photo, 6'5", 195, which is heavy for a soccer player, but it's muscled 195, and he's tall, obviously. But, you know, they say that, of course, he's got the speed combined with
the strength to burst past and through defenders to get off shots from places where other guys would be cut down by hard tackles, slide tackles, et cetera, and even fouls, probably.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. He takes contact. He gives contact. And he knows how to score. You know, here's a real quick fact. He has been famous for on these international trips he takes with Man City, because they will leave during the season to go practice with their national teams. So you might have a mid-season flight to Korea from England, right, during his season.
Right.
And he's been known to, he calls it raw dogging it, no headphones, no food. He just sits, closes his eyes, sleeps, and meditates the entire flight. He is. I mean,
How long is the flight?
From England to there, it's probably 15 hours, 12 hours, maybe. 15
hours raw dogging it. He's like Putty coming back from the Indian wedding in Seinfeld. Remember when he just stared at the seat in front of him? And Elaine lost her mind saying, "You don't want a magazine?" He's like, "Nah, I'm fine."
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. So he's just a creative guy. And if you look at some of his advertisements and media posts, he will be sitting cross-legged in kind of a meditative pose, and that's where that comes from.
Yeah. What a great character. Just jumps off the screen at you in a sublime footballer. And the Norway fans are great because their shtick is to row the boat, being, you know, from Norway with their great sailing tradition from back in the day. And their fans will all sit and they'll wait for the leader with a drum to go, "Hoy!" And then they do a row. "Hoy!" And they do a row. I've seen Norway fans going up the escalators en route to the stadium, sitting on the escalator, rowing it up the stairs, up the escalator. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Very similar to the Skull Viking chant with the drum. And that is from Iceland.
Right. So did Iceland, they didn't qualify, did they? Because I don't see them.
This year they did not qualify. But they have great fans too.
Yeah.
And you know, Zabe, every day here, it's a new fan. It's a new fandom making the scene every day here. I mean, we've talked about Japan. At the start of the match, it was the South Koreans dancing siesta with the Mexicans in Mexico City. You've got Scotland. And maybe Scotland, we'll talk about this, but it's just been crazy.
Scotland reportedly drank the bars dry in Boston, that there are bars and pubs that say, "Oh my God, it was triple what we normally serve on St. Patrick's Day in Boston." And that does not surprise me. So the Norway fans are awesome. I saw today Croatia, who played England. Is that result in? I did not check before.
That result is in. Can we talk about it briefly?
Yes.
All right. The fourth superstar to play the day after the three yesterday is Harry Kane. He scored two goals.
For England.
Harry Kane
scored two in a win, I presume, against Croatia.
They won. It's 2-2 at the half. They just wrapped up. It's 4-2 England. And those are the two best teams in that group. But Croatia, probably their fans won the day on their march through town.
Okay. So it's funny because one of my buddies, his name is Prad, works at the local 7-Eleven, where I get my big gulp and my 5-hour energy and occasionally a donut, back when I was a donut eating fat pig. And he and I always talk up sports because he's a big Cowboy fan and he's a big sports fan in general, right? And I believe he's Nepalese originally, but he lived in England. So his favorite country in the World Cup is England. And he talked today about, he's like, "Oh, today I'm really excited my team gets to finally play. So I'm glad to hear that they won." And so now that I know this, I'm going to get some facts for tomorrow morning's visit to go see my boy Prad. But I asked, I said, "Who are you playing?" He's like, "Croatia." And I was like, "I think Croatia doesn't suck. I think Croatia is like a legit power. Are they?"
Croatia is really good. Here's the way I describe Croatia. You know how you get called back to your high school alumni basketball tournament?
Yeah.
And you got the 18-year-olds who just won the state tournament, and they're faster and stronger and taller than everybody, and the guys in the knee braces come out, and take them to the woodshed because they just know how to play the game, and you got 40-year-olds beating everybody.
That's Croatia.
That's Croatia. They've got Luka Modric, who's a midfielder, who's 40 years old, who has been brilliant in his career. He's really good. This team has been to two semifinal World Cups. And a lot of these players played on those, which tells you, you know, that's over the last 8 to 12 years. They're just a bunch of old ballers who know how to play the game. But I think what happened today is what might happen to them throughout the rest of the tournament. They get to the second half, they're going to run out of gas. They go to some younger guys that aren't as experienced and skilled. But they're kind of that old man team that knows how to play, and they can really make you work.
All right. I've been told, or I've read, and we're a long way from it, but there is a possibility that the USA could face England on the 4th of July on our 250th anniversary of the original USA versus England thing. Is that possible, and what are the chances?
I would say it is. I'm just looking. I have to look exactly at the schedule. I guess it's possible. Let's see here.
Is the USA going to play on the 4th of July no matter what if they're in the group stage, if they're in the, the knockout stage? Yes or no?
Well, if the USA wins the group, they will play on July 6th.
July 4th is in the second knockout stage, the round of 16, according to my handy dandy FIFA.
That is correct.
Chart
and
right
there's
here.
There's two matches on July 4th, which I believe the USA, the only chance they would have to be in those matches would be if they finished third in the group.
Okay. The matches are in Houston and Philly.
Yes.
Holy shit. USA England in Philadelphia, Nick, in the shadow of the Liberty Bell on 4th of July, 250th birthday. Come on. I'm generally against rigging our sporting events. In this case, a little bit of rigging would not be the worst thing in the world.
I think the best thing in the world would be to be playing on July 19th in the final when the USA kicks England's butt again 250 years later and a couple days for the title. That would be something.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's calm down. You know, we got one crisp win under our belt here. Let's hope we don't get the bet against Australia on Friday. So, all right, back to the flying thing. I have to make a note of this. Henry Bushnell, maybe no relation to the Bushnell rangefinder conglomerate. Maybe he is. I don't know. He writes for The Athletic. He wrote, Iran versus New Zealand ended around 8 p.m. in Los Angeles. At 10:07, Iran players were on a bus bound for the airport where they'd fly back to Tijuana. World Cup organizers wouldn't let them stay and recover, said their coach, everything is like a disaster for us. A lot of people got to wring in their hands, which was instantly met with a lot of pushback going, bitch, football players in this country get on airplanes and fly far more than 30 minutes south of the border. Shut your dumb face. And FIFA responded by saying, Iraq agreed to this arrangement prior to the cup. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's Iran. Yeah,
Iran. Iran. Sorry, yep. Not Iraq. Yeah.
No. Everybody knew what you were saying. Yeah. And they agreed to it beforehand. And the main reason they are, my understanding, again, I don't have every fact. The main reason is because there's so many people traveling with Iran, the administrators, the people who inflate the balls, all these people, right? They all travel with the team, 50 people. And the U.S. basically, I believe, in immigration said, wait a minute, we're not vetting all these people. We don't know who installed these people on this in this program.
Because we're going to let the players through with Iran right now.
Like, yes, yes.
It's pretty amazing. We're like, sure, you can come play on our soccer tournament, even though we're bombing the shit out of your country. But no,
we're not playing an anthem.
We're not going to let 50 unvetted of your Nationals come into our country and stay and rattle around, and who knows goes where. So yeah, let's go so, for you. Yeah.
So they're staying in Tijuana. It's a 40-minute flight from L.A. You know, the U.S. plays in Seattle on Friday. They're training out of L.A. They will, after the match, hop on, get on a bus, go to the airport, hop on a plane, have a longer flight than what Iran had, down back to L.A. I mean, it's a nothing burger. But here's what I think that story, here's what it tells me, Zabe. Hey, tickets are so expensive. We don't like how the ticket prices are going. Nobody's going to go to these games. 99% full. Hey, the, you know, FIFA is being unfair to, you know, these people coming into the country. The majority of the, everybody's getting in the country who needs to, although there are some people that have to have some extra vetting. Hey, you know, there's all these stories about, and I'll call it just, there's a lot of, it feels to me like there's a bunch of negativity out there because people are just trying to find and nitpick at things. This is just the next thing. That's what this story tells me is it's really not a story, but we can't talk about the energy or excitement anymore. We can't talk about the tickets. We can't talk about low attendance because it's all great. That's what it is to me.
Yeah. Well, certainly the ticket story is it's a runaway train now. And you can't get them. The prices keep going up. Hard to get them at some venues. And it's only going to get harder as this thing whittles down to the knockout stage. Also, people were marveling at how last night up at Levi Stadium in San Francisco, Bay Area, Austria and Jordan. I mean, what a nothing burger of a match there. Two complete non-powers filled to the fucking top, Nick.
Filled to the brim. Fans. Yeah.
And there's no way. There's no way it was all Austrians and Jordanians. No fucking way.
No. No. It's
wanted to see world-class international soccer once in a lifetime on U.S. soil. And they put up with the traffic, the security checks, and the sky-high ticket prices. They're like, fuck it, let's go.
Yep. 100%. 100%.
Yeah. I have a friend, Stuart Verdery, who's listening right now because he's a loyal listener. I'm going to get him on the pod shortly. He popped up because he's a man of leisure and goes cool places and plays wonderful golf courses. I'd run a model my life after good old Stu. He was at the Argentina game in Kansas City. And he said, top five sporting event in my life, hands down. And he's been to a lot of stuff, World Series, Super Bowl, et cetera. He was just like, this was so awesome. And I go, well, it didn't hurt that Messi had a fucking hat trick. Right?
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And it's great fans with Argentina. But I will say, Zabe, I know many people who have tickets and have been going to games or are planning to go to games. And I zero complaints from anybody. Zero complaints. Just
from those
just
based, you know that went.
From those I have talked to in the last 5 days that have been at a game, that have figured out how to navigate traffic, that got through security, that got there. You know, the best way I can describe it, I guess, is there's just, they say, a constant energy and buzz from the moment you get on whatever transport you're taking.
Yeah.
It starts at early in the morning, wherever you are. If you want to go get a beer before, a drink beforehand, the energy, there's people wearing jerseys all the way to the end of the night.
Because it's game day in the World Cup, or match day, as it would be called. Yeah. You've been waiting for this, not your whole life, but for years now. And you are up in part of the energy of nations colliding. In a friendly sport, the beautiful game coming together, and then the super fans that have their traditions and their songs and all the stuff they do are all different. They're all crazy. Croatia, I could have sworn this had to be AI. I don't think it was. Somehow Croatian fans had a 2-block-long banner that they held up over their heads. That they marched right down the street with. And I'm marveling, Nick, at surely that's not one piece. that must be stitched together somehow. There must be Velcro or hooks where, you know, 20 guys have a chunk of it, they assemble it, and then they march it down the street. Maybe not. Maybe it's one very thin, pack it up like a giant parachute banner. Did you see what I saw?
I saw exactly what you saw. And yeah, I was stopping the video to try to see if there were gaps in the banner. There were no gaps in that banner.
So they maybe it's one together. Thing. What do you think it packs up into? Like the size of a Volkswagen?
Well, I will say this, Zabe, and I know we talked a little bit about the Netherlands and so forth, but so there are these supporter groups that pay money for all of these European teams. They pay dues, and they have a collection of money that basically pays to ship stuff wherever they go. The Netherlands shipped their orange bus
once. They shipped
via Atlantic Ocean steamer that left the Netherlands and got off in Galveston, Texas, and then they drove it up to Kansas City. And then that leads their parade.
Yes.
So they coordinate all this stuff. And, you know, when you see the Czechos, when you see what you were just talking about, when they get to the end, like they're getting down to the end of the street, they don't wrap the banner up. They just then start passing it back through all the people. So the banner started going back the other way as the people kept coming down to the end.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I mean, it's great. It's just amazing planning. Great coordination.
So let's talk Messi for a quick second. So I remember prior to the Cup starting and I asked, is he still any good? And you said, oh, yeah, he can still impact a match. Now, the only times I see Messi these days is wearing pink for our stupid MLS team down there in Florida. And I see him scoring amazing goals. They make the Sports Center top 10. And every time I see one, I'm like, yeah, but they're American goals. when we borrowed David Beckham for the last usable year or two of his career. So I had no idea, like, is he really any good? But when your words about, no, he can still affect a match, boy, did that come through. Because on the first, the first goal was overruled by or taken off the board by offsides. Yep. Put that aside for a second. But then the first goal that counted, it was like basically Algeria fell asleep for a half a second. Half a second they fell asleep. They let Messi have the ball on his foot, pretty much with a little bubble around him in the high slot, and he went to work and just launched a rocket. And it's like, yep, that little fucker has that skill in his body. That's why he has, I think I saw the stat, 800 non-penalty goals in international play, or I guess in all soccer, including club play.
That's all, yeah.
Right. All play at the professional level or international level, which is a record. 800. Talk to me about Messi.
Yeah, so, you know, Messi is, there's been a lot of debate. Is Messi the best player in the world? Is Cristiano Ronaldo better? The current players, is Messi better than, Pele? Is he the best player of all time? And it's a great conversation to have. I would say, my personal opinion, yes. Now, we could debate it forever. It's a fun debate. But I thought Zlatan Ibrahimovic, one of the guys on Fox who's broadcasting, if you know Zlatan.
He's retired now, right, Zlatan?
He's retired. He used to play for Sweden, and he had a great international career. He actually came over to L.A., and played in MLS for a little bit himself at the end of his career. He's known to be very he's very Ricky Henderson. He's very first person. Zlatan likes Zlatan.
Yes, tall guy too, right?
Tall guy. Very similar to Haaland's style of play. Just could beat people up in the box and that sort of thing. But you know, he said, they asked him the same question, and he said, Ronaldo's the best goal scorer in soccer, ever to play soccer. Messi is the best soccer player who actually defines how other people play soccer.
Really?
Like, he just embodies soccer. He can score rockets. He sees the field better than anybody else. Here's what I would suggest to listeners. If you want to go look at some video, and I don't have the exact, there's so many of them out there, but just type into YouTube or something, Messi conserving energy.
Hmm.
So Messi is known for now at his age. You know, they track all these guys, right? They wear these health monitors and they can see how far you're running and what your heart rate is throughout these whole matches. Messi used to have all the speed and quickness and everything. Now, if you just watch him play an ISO on him, he uses so little energy. He just knows where to go. And he is completely outthinking everybody. So if you go back and look at those highlights or go and look at some of his highlights, he just kind of circles around. He sees where people are. He's constantly taking a little bit of a step here, a step there. And then, I don't know, five or six times a game when the chance is there, bam, he's like, he's gone. But he's used so little energy. It's really brilliant what he does. So I would say he truly, he changed the way people play soccer. And I would call him the GOAT.
I think his iconic number 10 Argentina jersey is one of the all-time kits, one of the all-time iconic kits in soccer history. In fact, today, while playing golf in America here, I saw little Timmy with his dad on a golf cart wearing a Messi jersey. And I I said to him as I passed, I said, "Great night for Messi." And the kid smiled. He's like, "Yeah, it was great."
Yeah, it's brilliant. He is and he's just a great, I mean, he gets it. He gets his role. He's a pretty humble guy. He's
not a cocaine addled maniac like Maradona was, the previous greatest Argentinian of all time. Here's my funniest tweet is that somebody said, I want, because Argentina is in Kansas City. Kansas City known for its barbecue. Argentina also known for its meat preparation and barbecue. Somebody tweeted, I hope the Argentinians and the Kansas City natives are exchanging recipes and tips so we can come up with a super hybrid barbecue that is even better than anything the world has ever seen. I said, oh, good. I hope that's happening for sure. On the Ronaldo front, they had a disastrous draw with Congo. This was similar in scope for Portugal to the draw that Cape Verde was able to get from Spain.
Here's even the difference. Yeah, so this was a big surprise. Typically, Portugal plays as a team. They have really good talent, but they play as a team better than most, whereas, let's say, France or Spain have the best talent, but sometimes they're too individual. Portugal played as a bunch of individuals, and Congo has some good European players. Like, Congo's not – there are some African teams – where their players just don't play in the top leagues around the world. Congo's got guys that play in some of the top leagues around the world. So they're not intimidated. And it wasn't a street fight per se, but they just played a better team game. And again, for the bettors out there, you know, they were like +1,000, +950 to win. That's a huge number.
Yeah, that is.
Now, they didn't win, so you wouldn't have cashed it, but they had chances. I mean, at halftime, they had more shots on goal than Portugal did.
Yeah.
And Ronaldo didn't do anything. In fact, in the stuff that I read kind of immediately post-match, most people are saying, okay, that's kind of it for Ronaldo. They're going to have to bring him in and spot moments. And they need to change it up. Yep.
Wow. So Ronaldo may be more washed than Messi. I saw somebody posting the Goodwill Hunting clip of a young Matt Damon when he goes on his rant talking about how easy math is, saying, I'm sorry, this is so fucking easy for me, and you can't do this. They're like, this is like Messi to Ronaldo right now because of the difference in nights that they had.
So just so you know, everybody knows, Messi's had 10 goals since the age of 35 in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Ronaldo had zero.
I also saw a clip of the 2018 Cup in which Argentina got knocked out at some point, and the announcers were pretty much, writing Messi's obit, basically saying, well, that's it for him. Well, that was two World Cups ago, and he had a hat trick in the opener. Last ad on this, and then we're done for today. I am so delighted that the great Andres Cantor, the longtime Telemundo announcer, is still alive and doing his thing. Did not know this because, you know, I check into soccer every 4 years. Okay, Nick? Here was the great Andres Cantor on the second Messi goal against Algeria.
Ahí va Messi, prefiere con Nico por aquí. González para Messi. Messi, Messi, Messi. Goal!
I don't speak Spanish, so I have no idea what he's saying, but I am just blown away, Nick, at how well he can sustain those multiple goal outbursts. He must practice that with his diaphragm.
Oh yeah. He is well known. It's brilliant. I know people who just go listen to the Telemundo, watch the Telemundo broadcast when there's goals just to hear him call it. It's brilliant.
And to be delivered a moment like that, to call that game and have Messi score a hat trick. Amazing stuff. Okay. So all you World Cup fans and World Cup enthusiasts like I am, you're on your own until next week for Nick, but you can go read his clean sheet, clean sheet EPL. Available, just Google search it, and it's on Beehive, BEEHIIIIIVE, something like that.
Yeah, just type in clean sheet EPL and my name, LOCHNER, and it'll pop up in your search browser.
All right, USA, Australia, Friday night from Seattle. Then Netherlands, Sweden is a fucking banger on Saturday, right?
Yep.
And then the other
Scotland, Morocco will be a fun one.
That's it. That's on Friday night as well in Boston, or Friday afternoon. I can't quite see the time.
That's right. Immediately after USA's match, and that will be in Boston. USA play in Seattle.
Okay. And then when does Cape Verde play again? Because their 40-year-old goalkeeper, who rocketed to fame with his incredible effort for the 0-0 draw, gained all these followers on Instagram, and then immediately went himself and followed 200 thirst traps on Instagram.
This goalkeeper is now over 12 million social media followers. 12 million, this guy. And his mom has now gotten her visa. Marco Rubio got in the middle of this, and now his mom has a visa to be able to come watch him at his next match. Cape Verde plays Uruguay Sunday at, 5 Central, 6 Eastern, Miami, Florida, Hard Rock Stadium.
All right. All right,
great. Hey, the name, by the way, the name to listen for the U.S. to do well, they're going to have to stop Nestoroy Irancunda, 20-year-old for Australia, who has had maybe the best goal of the World Cup so far.
Really?
So gonna have to keep an eye on this guy. Australia is gonna pack it in and play defense, and the U.S. will have 75% possession, and Australia is gonna try to play defense and then take the breakaway. And Nestoroy is the guy that will be out front trying to break it down.
Nestoroy, is he a real Aussie or is he an import by way of
I think he's a real Aussie.
Did he grow up punching wallabies? Did he grow up wrestling gators and crocs?
I don't know.
Steve Irwin? Either way, it doesn't matter. It's great to have the world as our guest this summer. We are so happy you guys are enjoying our Buc-ee's and our barbecue and all the abundance of America. let's have ourselves more FIFA fun, which we will next week, and then we get to the knockout stage. Nick, is always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
That'll do it for me. Thanks so much for listening. Have yourself a great Thursday. Rate and review, and we will see you on the Zabecast next time. You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play. Plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game.